swift obedience. Ezekiel chapter 1 and verse 14. The living creature ran and returned as the appearance of a flash of lightning. Hebrews 3, verse 15. If you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation. Today, when God speaks, it is time to act. It may take a long time to confirm his word and know for certain that it is God speaking. God knows when he has confirmed his word and knows when his servant knows that. From that point on, he expects the action ordered. Today, if you hear his voice, there is a chosen time in the life that God has set to meet and call his servants. Sometimes it will be in childhood. For others, it is before they enter university, or sometimes even half through their course, or maybe when they have finished and graduated. Again, some others have lived a larger portion of their life before God makes himself even known to them. Whenever it is, whenever he calls, that is the chosen time for that one. Regardless of when it is or how old they are, that is their time. Every day beyond that time is another day for the enemy to work. The quicker the response to the call and or directions of God, the easier and more fruitful it will be. To wait too long becomes disobedience and is fraught with trouble. There was a certain young Russian lass named Maria who had given her heart to the Lord. She had lived most of her life on her father's farm in the north of Argentina. She had graduated from Bible school and went to work in the big city of Buenos Aires. She lived with another young lady in an apartment and little by little drifted away from church and the things of God and turned to the ways of the world. A year later, there was an election, and by law, everyone has to go back to their place of registration to vote. Therefore, she had to come back to the Bible school and the city to which she had registered to vote. One night, in the chapel service, the Holy Spirit reached out to her and tapped her on the shoulder, reminding her of her former promises. When God taps his servant on the shoulder, that one usually finds himself on his knees and bowed before God. And she was. She was bowed in deep repentance before the Lord. After the service, I asked her what the Lord had been saying to her. She answered that the Lord was talking to her about leaving her job and coming back and getting her life straightened out again. "Well, when are you going to do that?" I asked. "Oh, that will take me about a month," she replied. I pleaded with her, counseled her not to wait so long, and pointed her to the scriptures, but she was adamant and left for the big city the next day. I sent a young lady to go with her and tried to hold her steady that month while she gave her 30 days' notice and cleared out her apartment, pack her things, and return. Even with the help of a companion, 30 days was too long. In 2 weeks' time, she was tempted back into the ways of the flesh and said she was never going back to church. The young lady sent with her came back frustrated and disappointed. Another year went by when it happened that a close friend and relative of Maria was getting married in the Bible school. She felt obligated and came to the wedding in the school chapel. So there she appeared again. It happened that again there was a service in the chapel the day she came, and again the Holy Spirit tapped his stray lamb on the shoulders again, and she fell on her knees in deep repentance. After the service, I asked her what the Lord said to her this time, and she replied that she had to leave Buenos Aires. I said, "Okay then, when?" "Oh, it will take me about a month." I took her to the scriptures in the book of Hebrews, chapter 3 and verse 15. "Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation." I said to her, "Do you know when you are leaving Buenos Aires?" She said, "No, when?" I replied emphatically, now. You are not even going back to the city. I will send someone else to pack your things for you, and you are not even going back. She was astounded and resisted much, but finally, about midnight, she yielded to obey the word that God gave to her, and her life at last returned to its rest. Today does not mean next week or next year. God, the I Am God, is ever the God of now. When He speaks, it is a time for obedience. Preparation for compliance must begin as quickly as possible, and go and do whatever He has indicated to do. The fire creatures gave to the King of Glory swift obedience. It is quite all right to take time to be fully assured and to confirm that this is God's orders and His will. His word may not call for sudden action, but He asks for swift submission. The Lord of His church will know when His servants know for sure. He knows also that the more important the obedience and the more it involves, then there needs to be a certainty of the orders by full confirmation. Gideon set out his fleeces before the battle because his life and the lives of his companions were on the line. Decision is sealed by an action. One can always turn back on a decision if it is not sealed with an action. That is one reason why the Lord commanded baptism in water. It is much easier to go back if one has not been baptized in water. Water baptism is a public confession of faith and is like burning a bridge behind one. A young student in a crucial moment came to her teacher and showed her several scriptures that God gave her to confirm clearly and fully what God wanted her to do. Fine, her teacher said. I can see that it is very evident that you know what God wants. When are you going to do it? She made one excuse after another about delaying. Her teacher said to her, well, I see that you will not do it unless you seal it with an action. There are too many forces aligned to keep you back. She delayed and at last did not obey the revealed will of God for her life. There was no action taken when it was needed. Therefore, the doors conveniently opened for her to go her own way. Decisions must be sealed with actions. Whenever God asks one to do something, He will always provide the power needed to fulfill His command. God never asks an obedience and then withhold the power to do it. The fire creatures were first provided with wings, then straight feet, before they received orders to run and return. One must not try to do something on his own, even if he knows it is God's will. That was a mistake Abraham made, and by that mistake provided the world with Ishmael and his seed. Ishmael became a mortal enemy of Isaac and his descendants forever. God's cherubim went as the appearance of lightning. They went in their obedience with the power of God. He will never ask some work of obedience and then expect it to be done in the puny strength of the right arm of flesh. God expects us to go in the power of faith and the power of the anointing of the Spirit. God also sends His anointed servants in the power of His presence. The Lord is with thee, God said to Gideon. Go in this thy might. The Almighty God with him was the power and might of Gideon. It is easy to underestimate the energies, the strength, and the abilities that it will require to fill a work of obedience. How necessary to go in His power rather than in the power of the flesh. If one goes in his own power, even in obedience, there are hidden dangers, not visible at first, that he will be unable to overcome. Things will happen on that journey never dreamed of, and the purpose of that journey will be frustrated. The cherubim went as a flash of lightning. They went in the power of His might, collected by their wings, and that made it a journey of ease. If one goes fast enough on a rough road, it will level out. The tires in a car do not have time to go down into the low spots and ride softly over the top of them. At the speed of lightning, there is not time to fall into all the traps of the enemy. cherubim have sufficient power to go at that speed. They are overcomers. They went in the power of his might. Go, but return quickly. The fire creatures were not only swift and powerful, but they went with light on their path. They went in powers in swift obedience. They went in light, accompanied by your spirit. It takes light to be able to run and not stumble. How easy it is to be tripped up by any obstruction in the road when going in the dark. The swift messengers Ezekiel saw were able to see where they were going. They went in his strength and in light, so they did not stumble in the way. Task may seem overwhelming, impossible. Like the pilgrim in the dream of John Bunyan in his book, Pilgrim's Progress, he saw the lion in the path, but he also saw that it was chained and could not reach the middle of the road. Speeding in the light, it was easy for them to see that the lion was chained. In Luke chapter 9 and verse 59, there is the account of one that Jesus called to be one of his disciples and preach for him. And I quote, Jesus said unto another, Follow me. But he answered, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said, Let the dead bury the dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. That did not necessarily mean his father was dying. It just meant that he wanted to wait until he died. Jesus was not pleased with that delayed obedience. They ran and returned. God's task will never take one away from him. The things that God gives to do are never intended to separate from him. They ran and returned. God will never give a task that will take one from him. However, some of his servants, God has given a task, and then they add to it and add to it until they never have time to return. They run and they stay and never come back. More than one has said that they are too busy to return. They just do not have time. They are too busy working for God. If one is too busy to return to the feet of the Master and abide, then he is just plain too busy. Somehow, some way, he has moved out beyond the will of God into an area God never intended him to go. Regardless of what the task is, it is never to keep one from returning to him. The perfected servant will run and return. He will move out, do the will of God, but never be kept away from the divine presence. There was a certain Brother Lawrence who was a cook in the hospital kitchen of a monastery. He was very busy, but he determined to practice the presence of God right there in that kitchen. The presence of God became so manifested that people would come for miles just to sit in that kitchen because the presence of God was there. Brother Lawrence ran. He may even have had to run to keep something from boiling over, but he always returned. He never stayed away. He came right back and practiced the presence of God. That is the way God desires it to be. The problem with Martha was that she was going, but she was not returning like Mary. The Prince of Glory, who had fed the multitude on the hillside without a kitchen, did not really need Martha's kitchen. Nevertheless, Martha really needed him. All she would have had to say was, Lord, I would love to listen to you also. I don't want to be away, but have this task to do. Will you come out in the kitchen and talk? That would have settled everything. Without any doubt, Jesus would have been glad to go out to her kitchen. Mary also would have gone out there and maybe even have helped her sister. Martha went, but she did not return. She was doing something for her Lord, doing the best she knew how, but she did not return to his feet. She walked away from his presence even while he was sitting there. The perfected servant is the one that has learned how to run into swift action and returned just as swiftly, like a flash of lightning.